All right, welcome to Whitehall Works. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Zach.
And today we are going to talk about transportation.
But before we jump into transportation, Jenna, how is the baby arrival activities going?
Baby arrival activities are overwhelming.
How so?
My sister-in-law, I'm getting a lot of hand-me-downs from my two nephews, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I am overwhelmed with the amount of baby stuff in my basement.
Oh, and just wait till you have to travel with said baby stuff.
Yeah, it is overwhelming. You're
gonna need like a pack mule.
Yes.
Otherwise known as Kevin.
Yes. Exactly.
To carry that all around.
Exactly. Yes. But we're doing well. We're doing well.
Good.
We're
getting there. Three more months?
89 days. I have my countdown. Yeah.
Oh, good. We have it down to 89 days, 7 hours, 15 seconds till baby J.
Okay, we can't be that precise with this process. It happens when it happens.
Just so it's like 89-ish.
Uh-huh, 89-ish days.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm glad that's all going well and you're getting their nursery and everything ready for baby J. But we did want to take some time today to talk about a really important topic, and that is transportation. And there are a number of reasons why economic development practitioners and professionals have an interest in transportation and the options that it can create in a community.
Yeah. And so the first reason I think we always talk about is the attraction, retaining and expanding of businesses. I mean, that's our number one as economic development professionals. So when we're working with companies on locating or remaining in the community, transportation is among the many factors that they consider when relocating or examining where they want to go.
Well, and we've had this in a number of the businesses that we've worked with here locally, either to expand in Whitehall or to relocate to Whitehall was, okay, how are my associates going to get to work? Not just, you know, are there freeways they can drive on, but also what are the other modes of transportation that the community affords them that will help their workforce get to work on time and be reliable workforce.
Right.
So
yeah.
I agree. I mean, and to add to that point, you know, we've had previous podcasts about workforce, and so certainly that's important for the workforce development strategy. You know, we're going to be focusing a lot of our discussion on why it's important in Whitehall, which, you know, is close to the inner core of Columbus, you know, is an inner ring first suburb. But developing transportation alternatives and rethinking the way communities develop their land use and transportation patterns can bring more jobs and talent to a community. So that's why it's so important in urban areas, just as important as it is in rural communities as well. You know, one of the things that I've, you know, kind of noticed and experienced in my tenure with Whitehall is, you know, the idea of multimodal transportation wasn't necessarily something that was really focused on 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And so communities that today are, you know, outside of the outer belt that have had this significant growth, you know, utilized that transportation planning tool to help their communities grow while incorporating that, where you look at different areas of Columbus or communities like Whitehall where it's a little bit of, okay, we have to go back and adapt and rethink of how it was developed in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s when it was much more car-centric.
Mm-hmm. And kind of to, you know, dovetail on that, real estate development is another reason why we look at transportation. And mm-hmm. the term smart growth, I think, is something that we hear all the time, which means having a comprehensive development strategy that makes efficient use of land, utilizes existing services and infrastructure, and promotes a variety of transportation and housing options. So this helps communities to be well-rounded and sustainable for the long term, like you were kind of saying there.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, as we looked at Insight 2050, I know we've talked a lot about that. And, you know, that study spent a lot of time talking about how the region grew over the last 50 years is not necessarily a sustainable model for the next 50 years. And that wasn't just in land use. It wasn't just in economic development or in business attraction, but it was also in how are we, you know, linking the communities together through really great, vibrant transportation.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, because another point of that is the neighborhood economic development piece. And that's another just piece of the puzzle that we have touched on in previous episodes, and the quality of life factors that we talk about and the development of dynamic neighborhoods becomes increasingly important to businesses, since this is what's important to their employees, is that live, work, play aspect. And there's been a shift in location decisions from businesses being based on where people want to live and including those leisure and daily activities versus, like, I'm just going to set up my business here and expect the workforce to come to me.
Well, and, you know, we've touched on this previously, but, you know, the MORPC at one of their state of the regions, you know, I know you were there too, had the former chief planner for Toronto.
Yes.
And the city of Toronto, you know, was adding 40,000 people a year just to their downtown, which is astonishing. I mean, you're adding Dublin every year just to your downtown. And the idea that as part of that concentration, you know, obviously it was becoming much more dense, but there was a heavy focus not only on placemaking and pedestrian orientation, but also how do you really encourage great multimodal transportation, so not just cars, but how do you get other forms of transportation so that people can move around in a densely populated area? And I know that, you know, part of our goal here in Whitehall obviously has been, as we expect a million more people in the region between now and 2050, and we are certainly going to promote dense development. How are we fostering integrated transportation so that it is a tool and an asset to not only our community, but to the region?
Right. So we've said it before and we'll say it again, you know, partnership is the key in economic development. And some key organizations that we work with regionally are our regional planning organization, MORPC, the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, and they work on infrastructure and transportation issues. But we also work closely with our local transit authority, the Central Ohio Transit Authority. But, you know, more on that in a few minutes.
Absolutely, because as Jenna kind of alludes to, we will have Michael Logis with CODA join us here just in a minute. But before we get to Michael and CODA, you know, Jenna, let's talk a little bit about how specifically in Whitehall we're working on this transportation issue.
Yeah, and I know the number one thing that I think we keep hammering back on previous episodes and now is to ensure that our new developments have that smart growth and have the integrated transit as we our population does grow here in the region and in Whitehall.
Well, and not only that, but it's also, again, to partnering with the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, MORPC, or with CODA, you know, specifically, you know, working with those partners as they are doing corridor studies about creating, you know, potentially a bus rapid transit system and network that would utilize, you know, Main Street or as we've looked internally at Broad Street, that is a potential bus rapid transit route that links, you know, tens of thousands of employees up and down Broad Street in multiple jurisdictions along really exciting, dense redevelopments that are also coming online along that corridor. So, you know, with that, I do want to bring in Michael Logis with CODA. Michael, how are you today?
I'm good, Zach. How are you?
I'm doing
Thanks
real well.
Thanks for having
me. Oh, absolutely. No, we're excited. As Jenna mentioned, we're really excited to, you know, continue our partnership with CODA and the leadership over there. And so, you know, a little bit, Michael, real quick, could you, you know, kind of introduce yourself to listeners to the podcast?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to, Zach. So my name, again, Michael Logis. I'm the Senior Economic Development Project Manager here at CODA. And that means my role is to better link our transit assets with the needs of area employers, connect with real estate developers and other interested stakeholders to advance the mobility goals that we have as a region and make sure that our region is prepared for the growth that it's about to experience.
Well, that's awesome. So Jen and I both are, I kind of mentioned the bus rapid transit, touched on it a little bit. Could you kind of talk to us about the Link Us Mobility Corridors Initiative, including, you know, I know that you guys are going to be taking to your board here soon, you know, the RFQ for your east-west connector?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So Link Us is a collaborative effort to provide a complete mobility system along key regional transportation and development corridors. And that would include a high capacity and advanced rapid transit system, new technology solutions, maybe something like off-board fare collection, bicycle and pedestrian improvements, and most importantly, new housing and job opportunities for those in the region along these corridors. And this initiative is really a response to the challenges facing our growing region including managing things like traffic congestion, ensuring equitable access to jobs and housing. I know many of us in the industry have noticed a spatial mismatch between opportunity and job seekers, and promoting economic vitality. This work will build on the previous regional planning efforts, including COTA's NextGen plan from several years ago and MORPC's Insight 2050 corridor concept study that you had previously mentioned.
Excellent. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how, why potentially bus rapid transit is so important for not only the city, but the region as a whole?
Yeah, sure. So bus rapid transit, or other modes of advanced high capacity transit, it could be light rail, for instance, but bus rapid transit has certainly been something that we've gravitated towards more because it's cost effective in terms of moving a lot of people. It has the ability to scale in a region like ours very well. But it's also something that can be used, as Jenna was mentioning earlier, to leverage private sector investment. We've seen that in places like Indianapolis, where they've just launched their first bus rapid transit line last year, in places like Cleveland with the Health Line project up there. And our region has a BRT system right now. It's the CMAX corridor along Cleveland Avenue into downtown, serving the communities of Westerville and Columbus. And what that's meant for our passengers practically is it's a more efficient trip for them. It's faster than traditional bus service. It's better amenitized. So we've got things like real-time displays on the sidewalk so folks know when to expect their next trip. We've got custom passenger shelters and waiting areas that are kind of branded to be more like platforms that you might see on other transit systems. So the whole thing is designed to be customer focused and friendly and efficient.
And so to that point, I know, again, I keep talking about Broad Street, but the idea kind of behind the BRT from an efficiency standpoint, you know, Michael, would be, you know, you could live then potentially anywhere, you know, along Broad Street. And if your job was, say, you know, east out in Etna or Pataskala, you know, this is another way that we could potentially decrease the amount of congestion or the commute for a lot of those workers.
Absolutely. And the thing to remember here is that when a solution like this is utilized, you've gone from someone who's kind of white knuckling behind the wheel of a car, not able to do much of anything else because you're focused on the roadway, to having a more productive commute. You're a passenger. You can leave the driving. You can leave the travel to the experts who do it day in and day out and really kind of enjoy the ride. It's something that I value in my commutes. Every day to and from downtown. So just thinking back to the request for qualifications that we put out for the East-West corridor, I'm pleased to say that we'll be moving forward with a contract for a consultant team on that. You'll see more information about that soon. And really, there are some major task orders associated with that that new contract that we're hoping to advance over the coming months and years. The first is going to be a large one, something that's going to be tackled right up front, and that's an alternatives analysis for the high-capacity transit mode. What does that look like? What would the region be able to financially support and invest in? That will be paired with a design plan for that alternative high-capacity transit mode, so a 30% design there. And then streetscape elements for the ends of those corridors and all throughout, so that we actually know that we're investing in a place and investing in the way that makes high capacity transit more attractive.
Well, and I think high capacity transit and BRT, especially on Broad Street, has the potential to really be a game changer for a number of different areas. I know we've talked in the past about affordable housing and. Mm-hmm. I think everyone in the region understands to tackle the affordable housing challenges that we have, we are never going to build our way out of it. And so if instead we can reduce the cost of things like transit, that then people's housing can become more affordable to them because they've been able to stretch their budget maybe a little more on housing because they've reduced transportation costs. Or, you know, I know we've, you know, worked on different initiatives to reduce the the cost of childcare or healthcare. I mean, anything we can do to reduce these other areas, the financial burden to families, only serves to then improve and make housing more affordable and attainable. And so I think really this high capacity system that you all are exploring, especially here on the east side, can really be a game changer for a lot of these areas that we're really working on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just thinking back to your previous podcast. You and Jenna had hosted some folks around affordable housing. These are really linked issues in our community. When you're housing burdened or you're transportation burdened and you're spending more than you can reasonably afford to spend on things like transportation, just daily commutes, that's something that we as a community really need to kind of focus in on and take necessary steps to kind of address so that we can elevate all in our community and kind of advance prosperity for everyone.
Absolutely. Now, Michael, I know that this is kind of a timely question. Talk to us a little bit about how COTA has been making adjustments during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh, absolutely. So the first thing to know is that COTA had suspended fares all the way back on March 19th to better address the needs for social distancing between our passengers and our operators, our drivers. For those of you who have used a COTA service recently, you might have noticed that our fare box, how you actually board the bus and pay for a ride, is very close to our operators. To ensure that we've got a certain level of safety on our vehicles, everyone is being directed, at least at the moment, to board at the rear of the vehicle, and everyone is being required to wear face masks. So those are some safety protocols that we put in place. We've also greatly reduced the number of passengers that our fixed route buses, our traditional 30 and 40 foot buses, can accommodate. Those are typically in excess of 40 people. We've scaled that all the way back down to 20. And the intent there is, again, to maintain social distancing. We've also invested in new sanitization technology and efforts, including the application of new chemicals on the seats and high-touch areas on the vehicle to ensure, again, safety. And then beyond that, it's everything around route planning. We have had to make some adjustments to things like frequency and span of service because the level of ridership had just adjusted so much. Much like many of us, a lot of people in Central Ohio just weren't moving as much as they would have typically. There was the stay-at-home order. So we've used that as an opportunity to test out some new things because we had some available resources, including the use of a new on-demand transportation solution that we might touch on here in a bit.
Well, actually, that was actually going to be the next question I have was, you know, can you talk to us about that COTA Plus program that I know you guys have invested in? I'm really interested to hear more about that.
Yeah, so COTA Plus is an on-demand, COTA-operated micro transit solution, and what that means is that it is a real-time system that summons a vehicle to your location via a mobile app. So we've got a COTA Plus app available for download on the Google Play or Apple App Store. Customers within a zone of service can request a ride to go to another point within that same zone of service. So this is similar to other ride hailing services that you might be familiar with. If you use similar apps, it will look and feel very familiar. But this is a deployment that we first launched last year in Grove City as a first last mile solution to access more jobs, something that I'm sure you all can really appreciate, and more employers in an area that was inaccessible to transit. And so this is kind of an extension of our service. So we've launched that in Grove City last July, and it's still operating. And then I'm just on August 24th, we launched the second COTA Plus zone of service for a two-year program in the city of Westerville that also included some nearby points of interest, including Polaris Fashion Place, IKEA, and Topgolf. And then as a result of the COVID pandemic, we did make some adjustments to some of our fixed route lines or traditional bus routes that have a regular schedule. So to better meet the needs of the community, recognizing that there was still a need for some type of mobility service, we deployed that in a portion, Coda Plus, in a portion of Gahanna, Columbus, near Easton, connecting all the way down to Mount Carmel East on Broad Street as a kind of a stopgap until normal service can be restored. We've got that community response Coda Plus service.
So as we've talked about, Michael, you know, part of, you know, the city's desire to have Coda as a partner on the early end of our redevelopment projects is to really enhance quality of life. Real briefly, can you kind of describe and talk a little bit about how transit plays into the quality of life for a community?
Sure, absolutely. So I view transit as being really vital to the urban fabric of a community. It really can be a sustaining force in the economic activity within a neighborhood. And I say that because we've seen in community after community, those kind of hubs of multimodal opportunities to connect with, maybe it's a bike share, maybe it's e-scooters, maybe it's a Coda route. Those kinds of nodes of investment are really kind of what can sustain a community and kind of build the fabric of that neighborhood. And so we're wanting to kind of embrace that in a very positive way. And something like a bus rapid transit network certainly can really spur an investment like that. But that's just one way that we can kind of fold into the everyday life of those in Central Ohio.
Well, that's great. So, Michael, we really appreciate you taking some time with us today to give some additional context and to speak to the partnership that Whitehall has with Coda. I know I can speak for our leadership that, you know, we really value our partnership, and we're really excited to explore additional opportunities for this partnership as we redevelop a lot of different areas in Whitehall.
Thank you, Michael.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I want to thank Michael for joining us today, but it is one of our favorite times of the show. It's our Kick It to the County, and we want to bring in our additional third co-host,
Mr. Alex Barris.
Alex, how are you today?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good. So first things first, how many phone calls did Michael Salvador get from our last podcast?
He actually received a few and was able to triage some, I think, very good opportunities for people.
Well, that's fantastic.
So,
well, good. Well,
yes,
so
absolutely.
That's awesome. I always appreciate giving Michael Salvador more work to do. Go ahead.
Yes. If anything this podcast can do, if it provides more phone calls to Michael Salvador, it's done its job, in my opinion.
I like it. And Michael Salvador can be reached at
614-525-7304.
Excellent. Okay, good. So, Alex, we do want to transition away from the Michael Salvador show over to transportation. So, as you've been hearing, you know, listening to our conversation with Michael today, you know, kind of talk to us about, you know, your role and your shop's role here in transit and in transportation there at the county.
It's really hard to follow someone like Mr. Logis because he has such a broad understanding of how transportation works with economic development, community development, housing, those things. And I think that's really the element that is so important, is that this is just another piece of the puzzle of the grand strategy of city and regional planning. And so it fits in so well for Whitehall and what the county does, because at the end of the day, the county, as we've talked about many times, is a niche player in things. We can only do so much. So where we target and emphasize our resources, we want to get a lot of return out of our investment. And we've really seen transportation, both in transit of people as well as economic development, freight type of surface transportation, as elements that we can really get a return on investment on. And that comes down to a number of things. Our first huge initiative that we made back in 2014 was starting the Franklin County Infrastructure Bank, which is a tool to help communities like Whitehall, which we've partnered with you guys. Well, I'd love to talk about how that project's going. But in 2014, 2015, partnered on financing a Hamilton Road improvement with you guys. And it's those kind of things of where a small financing investment can be the final piece of a city's larger redevelopment project for infrastructure that can really leverage all those other sources and accelerate a project going forward.
Well, and I think the counties, just a touch to piggyback on that a minute, the county's participation in the North Hamilton Road reconstruction project, you know, providing it was about $500,000 in funding, was so necessary to fill a gap that we just could not figure out how to do. And so without the county's money, that project would not have been able to proceed and would not be as successful. Just real briefly, Alex, the Frank County Infrastructure Bank, remind me again, just for our listeners, and remind Jen and I, generally speaking, what are the terms for, you know, the county's participation through the land or through the infrastructure bank?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very lucrative and inducing financing tool. It's a 10-year loan that a municipality pays back over 10 years. Very low interest rates. We always keep our interest rates at least 0.25% below the going market rate for a AAA rated city. So the absolute highest rated, cheapest financing you can get on the market, we're gonna reduce that a little bit to make it go farther, to make it easier for our municipalities to stretch their dollars. I think that's what helped out with your guys' project. Is not only was it financing, was able to get the project done, it was able to really, we're able to stretch that project and get exactly what the city needed rather than taking shortcuts and doing those things. Get the complete street and the complete aesthetic feel for a gateway into Whitehall by providing just extremely flexible, low interest rate financing. So that's what it, that's really what it does. It can finance all kinds of things we consider to be public infrastructure very flexibly. A lot of other tools in the state and the federal government are very restrictive because of where the money comes from or for other policy goals. Our policy goal is to get projects done. And that's what we saw with Hamilton, the Hamilton project and others in the community. I mean, another great thing is, for example, three communities and probably likely to be a fourth and a fifth here in 2020-2021 will be using the infrastructure bank to finance their fiber broadband network, which is a extremely great tool for economic development, and it's something that we can do. So we're just very flexible, very easy to be used. We want to come in and be able to just accelerate a good project that generates economic development in our communities to move forward.
Well, and I appreciate that. I know, Alex, I know you and I have had conversations about how potentially this tool could be used in our efforts to integrate transit and transportation offerings and opportunities as we look to redevelop the Broad and Hamilton 50-acre site that the city is working on currently. And so I know we've had some conversations and potentially might be able to utilize that tool. Well, Alex, anything else that you want to add to this transportation transit conversation today?
The talk with Michael and the talk we've had about Insight 2050 and these planning efforts and alternative studies and things is that another thing that the county has done, we talked about affordable housing a few episodes ago. You know, once again, to reiterate, our affordable housing, how we score and judge a very competitive, oversubscribed affordable housing grant program to provide more affordable housing units to people in the county is based solely on how it's integrated into these high frequency transit corridors. And if one thing we have, I mean, you guys talked at the beginning about that transition from a completely auto-centric a society and land use pattern to going back essentially to what we were doing for 180 years before that.
Right.
Is just a more multi-use, multimodal approach. One thing that we have, though, because of you always got to look at when we're talking about Whitehall and the county integrating in terms of redevelopment, is that sometimes you got to look at what's the good from maybe a overdeveloped policy. We have a giant ribbon of public right-of-way that goes from the very western side of the county all the way to the very eastern side. And it runs right through your main redevelopment project, and that is Broad Street. And I can't emphasize enough how we think that that is just a tremendous corridor to focus, you know, one of the corridors we really emphasize in terms of focusing affordable housing projects, redevelopment of workforce and job opportunity projects, and also putting value capture tools there to help partners, our partner as well, in CODA and MORPC, in terms of getting these new transit options done. And I can't emphasize that enough. People look at these things to have that bounty of right-of-way going through the very center of the county, but also the very heart of Whitehall, is an extreme benefit. And it's something that probably we're just at the tip of the iceberg of truly leveraging. And I can't say enough about what Zach, you and Jenna and the mayor and everyone else there in Whitehall's emphasis has been on, you know, truly linking all these strategies, all these plans together into actually implementing real change along these corridors. And boy, if Broad Street isn't a huge asset to leverage, I don't know what is in this community.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you saying that, and you definitely said it better than I've been trying to say it for 6 to 8 months. So I appreciate that, because I'm definitely going to steal that. So with that, Alex, we appreciate you joining us as our third co-host again this month.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you so much, Jenna. Congrats on being in the final finish line.
The home stretch, yes.
Excellent.
Well, thanks, Alex. So again, yep. I want to thank Michael Logis with CODA for joining us today and providing some great insight. I think we had some really great discussion and conversation about transit.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Michael. And now back to work.
Thanks for listening to Whitehall Works. This is a show hosted by the Economic Development Team, Zach and Jenna, at the City of Whitehall, a suburb of about 19,000 residents located in the Columbus, Ohio region. Economic development is a phrase you often hear, but the general public may not know what it means in practice. As a profession, economic development focuses on the well-being and quality of life in a local community, region, state, or country. Each episode will have a topic or a breakdown of efforts the City of Whitehall is working on to improve their community. But you are the community experts, and we want to hear from you. If you have any topics or questions for Zach and Jenna to talk about on the show, please email Whitehall Works Podcast in the subject line to economicdevelopment@whitehall-oh.us. Now back to work.